Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday, May the 28th, 2026. Last Thursday in the month of May. How about that? This week is rolling right along. As I said, and as I have said all week long, you take one day off, you take Monday off, and the week rolls on by rather quickly. Tomorrow already getting set for the weekend, to get away Friday tomorrow, but it is Thursday morning. And we're glad to be here with you. We had a lot of fun with yesterday's show. Did a lot of history. We did current events yesterday. But ended up doing a lot of history. And I ran into a couple people yesterday. Apparently one who likes the use of my word kerfluffle. So I appreciate that for that listener out there. And a couple others yesterday who enjoyed the conversation about Turop's restaurant and where it is located today. The building. So that was a lot of fun, and I'm glad everybody enjoyed that. Well, let's see. Let's kick off the morning this morning. Phone lines are open, by the way, as they always are here at WGH Talk, 740-383-9944. Looks like yesterday might have been the end of the rain. Looks like we might be headed into a period where we're going to have nice weather, where things are going to be good for a while. I think that's all very positive. After the constant amounts of rain that we had. And I was even talking with somebody yesterday about the watermelons and the strawberries. Now, I can't speak for any other fruit or vegetable at this point. And I think it's more specific to the fruits. But people have said the more rain we have, the better the fruits are, the produce. And I had a strawberry about a month ago, and it was one of the best-tasting strawberries I ever had. I did not put any sugar on it. I did not put any type of sweetener on it. I did not eat it on any kind of shortcake or biscuit, but it was just delicious. So I think the fruits might be better indeed. And by the way, I think I have said this before, but a few years ago, I've always liked strawberry shortcake, which typically for me was just strawberries on shortcake that you would buy in the store, and you put a little whipped cream on the top maybe. I always enjoyed that dish. I'm a big strawberry person. But a few years ago, somebody turned me on to the idea that instead of using shortcake, you use biscuits. You know, homemade biscuits, which are not very difficult to make. And you use that in place of the shortcake. And man alive, it is 10 times better than strawberry shortcake with actual shortcake. I don't know if anybody has ever done this. Maybe I'm just living in a different world and had never done that. But that is delicious. Has anybody ever tried that or understand how much different that makes strawberry shortcake? 740-383-9944. You know, strawberry shortcake is one of those, much like strawberry pie, it's one of those things that in the spring and in the summer are far more popular because obviously strawberries are in season during that time of year. But there is nothing like strawberry shortcake made with biscuits, topped with whipped cream, you know, Cool Whip. You don't want to go with that whipped cream in a can, that aerosol whipped cream. That doesn't work out very well. And by the way, why do we put food in aerosol cans? Has anybody ever understood this? I've never why would you put whipped cream or Cool Whip, I guess, I don't even know what you call that stuff, in the aerosol can? Why would it be better in an aerosol can than in a tub? It comes out kind of watery, if you ask me. And then we also put cheese in an aerosol can. Now, a lot of people like the cheese in the aerosol can because they can spray it right on their Ritz crackers or their townhouse crackers. You know, they like that. But I don't know. Food in a can, an aerosol can, I don't know if that's the best idea. And then, God forbid, you break the switch on the aerosol can, then you can't get the rest of the cheese out. You can't get the rest of the whipped cream out of there. I just don't think it's good to put things in an aerosol can like that, especially food. This is kind of a... I did not expect to get off on this sidetrack this morning, but... does anybody have any ideas out there about food and good things to eat in the summer? Maybe recipes. You know, we used to talk a lot about recipes on this show, and heaven knows, in the early days of radio, recipes were a big thing. People like to talk about recipes. Mary Ellen Withrow has said many, many times that when she first campaigned for office, she campaigned with recipe cards. How many kitchens do you go in today and actually see those recipe boxes that used to be in everybody's kitchens? And how often do people save recipes now? Now everybody goes to the internet and they get somebody else's recipe. It's not really like it once was. And again, I'm not sure if this is a good thing, because what happened to all these recipes that used to be handed down generation after generation after generation? You never hear about those anymore. You know, it's oh, I went to the internet and I got this recipe for such and such. What happened to the recipes that used to be handed down on those little index cards? And usually the ladies in those days would guard those things like nobody's business. Are there any family recipes that are still out there in the ether? People don't really talk about recipes anymore. It's kind of funny in a way. If anybody's got anything to say, feel free to give me a buzz here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, our conversation yesterday kind of also had to do with food in a way. We were discussing a lot of staples from the past in Marion history when it came to food, because we were talking about this 250th anniversary celebration of America coming up. We talked about Turoff's, which was downtown. We talked about Cafe George, which was downtown. We talked about the L&K restaurants, which became quite big throughout Marion. There were several different locations. We talked about, what else did we talk about yesterday? We talked about the Isley shop and the pink Klondikes that people used to get. And if you got a pink Klondike, you would get another Klondike for free. And I think that was the Isley location downtown. We talked about that before it moved out to Route 95, which ended up being the last location of the Isley shop in Marion. We talked about Tecumseh. People always like to talk about Tecumseh. Although we did not get any response about that on the air yesterday, that has always been, maybe even more than the power shovel, that has been a very talked about part of Marion history. And I think, as I said yesterday, I think one of the reasons for this is because when it shut down, it put a lot of people out of work. It was a union shop. There had been two fairly brutal labor strikes that had happened there in the last 10 years of their operation. So I think there was just a lot of stuff that went into that Tecumseh plant that did not go in to the power shovel. Does anybody have any theories on why Tecumseh is remembered? I don't know if it's remembered more than the power shovel, but it certainly is remembered as much or in a different way. And I'm not sure the way is quite positive. But if anybody's got any thoughts on any of those things, feel free to weigh in. So we got recipes, we've got historic Marion food locations, and we've also got Tecumseh, Power Shovel, those kind of fun subjects. 740-383-9944. And by the way, one thing I did not mention yesterday was after George Turoff retired from Turoff's, I believe it was 1992, he ended up going to work at the hospital for many, many years as a cook in the kitchen at the hospital. Now, does anybody remember that? Now, maybe, I guess unless you went to the cafeteria, you might not have seen George. But George Turoff was a cook in the hospital kitchen for I don't know how many years after Turoff shut down. But he was out there for probably a good 20 years, might have even been more than that. And I always thought, well, maybe that's why the hospital food is a little better than it normally would be. I'm sure there were restrictions to cooking in the hospital as opposed to having your own restaurant. But George Turoff was out at the hospital for years and years and years cooking after Turoff shut down. So in any event, those are a lot of history subjects. Or if there's anything you remember from Marian history, we can certainly talk about those things as we head into the 250th anniversary of this country. And the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Don't be shy. Feel free to weigh in. We got a couple calls yesterday as the show was ending. And I also do want to mention that the studio is now decorated for the 250th anniversary of this country. Now, not that this is a big decorative project, because, you know, it's not a big studio here, but we have a couple red, white, and blue kind of flag-looking balloons, helium balloons, and we also have a couple balloons, helium balloons. They're star-shaped, and they've got red, white, and blue. No, they've got red. Let me get this right here as I'm staring at one. They've got white and blue stars on them, and then they say USA, and then the balloon is primarily red. So those are our decorative balloons for the big 4th of July and 250th anniversary of the country celebration coming up right around the corner. You know, I was trying to think last night, what is the material that these balloons are made of? It's not the latex balloons. It's the balloons, you know, that are not made of latex. They seem to hold helium a whole lot better, and they hold it for a much longer period of time. I guess that'll be the race in the studio every morning. Will these balloons last through the 4th of July? Because they've got about a month and a week here to make it through the 4th of July. But what is that material that balloons are made of? It's something like, is it Nylar or something like that? That helium cannot escape out of as quick as a latex balloon? I cannot think of the material, but you know it's silver. It's silver on the inside, and then outside, obviously, it's decorated like the balloon you would want. I cannot think of what that material is called. Does anybody remember what or know what that material is called? 740-383-9944. Well, it's kind of not a real newsy start to the morning here, but we are up and running. Okay. Well, what have been the subjects this week? Well, we learned on Tuesday night at the city council meeting that the city will be renting the would-be fire station, the old Rite Aid building on Main Street. The city has purchased this, and on Monday they voted 9-0 to lease this building to Goodwill for a period of 6 months. Now the rent will be $4,000 a month, and Goodwill and the city will have an option to lease it for another 6 months at the end of that lease. It will not be open to the public. It will be a processing center for Goodwill. Goodwill will pay the utilities. So that was kind of the deal that went down on Monday. But much like the current curbside recycling program, this story is getting a lot of play on social media. You know, by the time the curbside recycling story, the end of curbside recycling, had run its course, it had over 100 comments. Now, this story, which has only been up about 48 hours, has already gotten something like 75-80 comments. So that's a big story too. You know, that's more than your typical story in regard to anything going on in the city. Go ahead, caller.
Is Marion pure anymore?
Well, I don't know if it's pure, but it was a unanimous vote on Monday night to lease out the would-be fire station, I guess.
Well, the would-be fire station, and the big hang-up on that not going forward is why?
Well, the explanation that we have been given, and I don't doubt this, when a levy passes, the money that they have collected so far from the levy, they use to buy the building. Now, there is some more money in the levy fund as they collect it as time goes along, but it's not enough money to convert the building. Now, as time goes on, and they've also bought some fire trucks and things, I guess, that were also included in that. Maybe they haven't purchased them yet, but I did hear the mayor say Monday that was also to go for other things for the fire department.
Isn't that kind of like the government? Oh boy, we have fire trucks, but we got no place to house them.
Well, the main hang up, though, regardless of this other stuff, which the levy did allow them to buy, I guess the wording of the levy did allow them to buy other things. Essentially, what a normal city would do in this case is...
Wait a minute. Now, is not the operative word normal?
Well, I'll tell you why we're not normal here in a second. Here's what a normal city would do. They would take the levy money, because the levy money is for a period of years. They would take the levy money that they get in the beginning, and they would buy the building with that. Then what they would do to convert the building to a fire station is they would borrow the money, and then as the rest of the levy money came in, they would pay off the loan. But the problem is Marion has no bond rating.
Hold it a moment. Borrow the money from?
A bank.
Oh my God. That is poor economics.
Well, that's what typically happens in a situation like this with a levy, because the levy money...
Again, with a normal city.
Well, right, because when you collect levy money, which you know, I'm sure, it doesn't all come in the beginning. You have to wait a number of years for that levy money to all show up. So, in the beginning, you get the levy money, and that's probably enough to purchase the building, which it was, in our case. But you would go out to convert the building so you could get it open quickly. You would go out and try to find the best interest rate, and you would get a loan, and you would use that money to convert the building. And then as the rest of the levy money came in over the number of years that the levy lasts, you would pay off that loan. That's typically, in a normal city, what would happen. What makes us abnormal is we don't have a bond rating. So no bank is going to loan us any money. And also the fact, since we've said that the auditor, we called on the auditor of state to come help us, surely no bank is going to loan us any money. And that's why the fire station is halted.
My, oh my. And who do we have to thank for all of this quagmire?
Well, it goes back to the loss of the bond rating. Now...
Which was caused because...
It depends on who you listen to, but the conventional wisdom is that because the books were not reconciled starting in 2020, a correct balance could not be given to the Auditor of State on time.
And who was at the helm in 2020?
The auditor in Marion was Robert Landon, but Miranda McGinnis has also been there, and now we've got Vidya in that position. So those would be the auditors since 2020.
So, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Is it the state of Ohio here?
Well, Mayor Collins said a couple weeks ago that apparently the plan to fix Marion was sent down on April the 6th. And what we did learn is that they have been coming to Marion, the state auditor, and they've been working with the budget director, and they've been working with people in the auditor's office. Although, come next week, it'll have been 2 months and really no answer on our plan as of yet.
My, oh my.
Well, I guess the big drama is, and I guess you're a citizen, how do you feel about it? Because the reaction on social media has not been good. It's approaching 80 comments in 2 days, which is quite a lot for a city story. People are not happy about this.
The city council should take control of the city. There should be an immediate recall of the mayor. And we need to get a city manager. We need to have somebody who has a master's in public administration. Marion has suffered at the hands of too many not ready for prime time politicians. Perhaps they have good intentions, but no idea what the hell they're doing.
Well, at this point, because we are not a charter city, I believe if you recalled the mayor, it would just be up to the Republican Party to appoint another mayor.
Well, even if you recalled him and you didn't like what the Republican Party had replaced them with, you can recall him again. You know, we've gotten to the point the bar has been lowered so low, we're going to have a president or a mayor that is a professional limbo guy.
Well, you know what's interesting is that I ran into somebody from the Democratic Party actually last night, and I was talking to them about the lack of candidates that the Democrats have to run for office. And they seem to feel that the Democrats are still in that position. Because Mayor Collins, I mean, you don't have to recall him. He'll be up for election next year. And anybody can run against him.
Well, that's the sad state of affairs. Who is, one, strong enough to say, I can do it, and has the mental capacity to understand public administration and finance, economics? That's what's important. And, you know, anybody in the right mind wouldn't want to step into that mess, because, you know, the probability of coming out smelling like a rose is slim to none.
Well, I will say this, that now, and I don't know what will happen between now and next year, but I have had interactions with two people. Now, I don't know how strong of candidates they would be, but they are Democrats, and one is in the 1st Ward, and one is in the 6th Ward, and they both have certainly expressed interest in running next time around as Democrats in those wards. And as I said to the person in the 1st Ward, the 1st Ward has primarily been Democratic for the last 30 years. I mean, there's only been, you know, Ralph Cumston had the 1st Ward as a Democrat for 20 years. Then Landon had it for 2 years. Then when he went off to run for auditor, Kai Mead took back the 1st Ward for the Democrats, and I don't think he could finish out his term because he moved out of the 1st Ward, but a replacement from the Democratic Party came in. And then Sean Barr ran in the first ward, but he ran unopposed. So he's been there for 3 years, but never had to run a race against anybody. So the in the last 26 years, the only time a Democrat ever lost in the first ward was when Cumston lost to Landon, that one time.
Which brings up the issue. Why would you want city council members having a term of 4 years? That is so absurd. If somebody is worth their salt and representing their wards, the electorate will keep them there.
Well,
it's imposing upon the taxpayers to give them 4 years of on-the-job training. For instance, look at the president of council. She still doesn't know how to hell to conduct business.
Well, and there you go. There's a case. She's run for office 2 times, and she's run unopposed both times.
It makes my point. Why automatically put them in there for 4 years of on-the-job training?
Well, here's the irony of that whole thing. Ralph Smith is chairing the committee that wants to do this, and yet his reasoning every time this is brought up is that we don't want a new council coming in here because it theoretically could happen in which it's all new council members at the same time. And yet he is the one who primaried the longest tenured council person to get them out last time, Jason Schauber, in the third ward. Now, if you believed experience was important, and you believed that it is hard to get enough experience in 2 years, why would you leave your at-large seat to primary the longest tenured person who was running for re-election, and then turn around and say, well, what we really need is experience on this council, so we got to extend the terms?
Because somebody was politicking and trying to stack the deck in their favor. That's why.
Well, we all know the reason, but it sounds terrible when you say it.
Well, you know, two years is long enough. It's outrageous to even suggest longer, because that monopolizes those seats. It should be left up to what the individuals representing the particular ward has accomplished by representing in 2 years. And if they haven't done anything, they're either out or they've run unopposed.
Well, the thing that I don't understand is they keep saying, again, that there could be this possibility where there could be a whole new council. And theoretically,
There could be that possibility. Necessarily a bad thing. And you know, what's incumbent of both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party is they don't know how to recruit. They don't groom people to be able to say, we have candidate A, B, C, etc. They have been educated.
Right, but here's
the functions of city council, etc., etc. So there's no more on-the-job training at the expense of the taxpayer.
Right, but here's the thing that to me, every time that's been said, and it's been said quite a bit now because this had a few readings in committee and it's had a couple readings in council now, is every time that's said, I keep thinking, okay, we've had this system for a long, long time now of 2-year terms and everybody being up for election the same year. When has it ever happened that a whole new council was elected? The odds of 9 members all being voted out the same term is astronomical that would happen.
I think, you know what would be interesting? Find a bookie or somebody in Las Vegas to come up with the odds of that would be.
Right.
Or maybe even a statistician out at OSUM.
Right, but here's the thing about it. Okay, it's never happened, so why is there a reaction to it all of a sudden? Why is there, well, we're worrying that that could happen, even though it's never happened?
See, they simply want to stack the deck, just like those idiots who tried to stack the deck for the Charter Commission. People got wind of it. They saw what the hell Collins and the rest of his cronies were trying to do.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this, here is why, and a caller said this yesterday. They said that one of the problems with this administration and this current council is, and this is a paraphrase, is that they have said so many things that don't add up, that it's hard to believe anything they're saying. And that's the two situations we're talking about this morning, where you say you need four-year terms because you want tenured people on council, yet the person proposing this legislation is the person who primaried the longest tenured person on council who was running for re-election. That seems disingenuous. And then you've also not got a time in history where a whole new council was elected, but yet you keep saying that could happen, even though it never has. So that's where it looks as if you're saying things that don't add up. And that's why people don't
trust
you.
You know what that's called?
What's that?
It's called the Chicken Little Syndrome. The sky is falling. The sky is falling.
Well, right. And also, this is where the mayor is getting in trouble on the fire station, because the mayor... And I'm not saying, it's just, it's very odd, because on Monday night, the mayor said that goodwill came to him because they knew that the city had this building because they had purchased it. Goodwill knew that. And then goodwill also knew, because of the city's financial state, that they probably would not be able to do anything with it. And that's why goodwill made this offer. Now, I don't know that that's not true, but does that sound logical to you, that goodwill would come to the city knowing that this building was purchased by the city, knowing that the city is in financial straits, and say, hey, city, let me help you out for 6 months and rent this building? Does that sound...
How much is the rent?
$4,000 a month.
$4,000 a month. Now... Just as that building has been sitting there vacant all this time, since they bought that property, how much has it been costing them just sitting there doing nothing?
Well, I believe they've been paying the utilities so the pipes don't freeze, and probably the property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But the odd thing is, if they...
Goodwill is building that gargantuan facility out there, Barks Road, Delaware Avenue.
Well, apparently that's why this is only a six-month period. It's until that is finished, and it could take up to a year, I guess. So that's why there's an option to renew for another 6 months. But the mayor said it Monday, and I don't have the quote in front of me, but he essentially said that the city has no plans, because of the financial situation, to do anything with that building in the very near future. So, there you go.
Rumor has it, I thought the mayor had, I heard it somewhere, the mayor had a plan that the state of Ohio approved. I thought they were going to run it into a sporting woman's place in a gambling hall.
Well, you know what's odd? Now, most people would say, okay, if that building's empty and you aren't going to be able to do anything with it, if you wanted to rent it out, which essentially is what's happened here, for a year or 6 months or whatever, why wouldn't you advertise that? Somebody would come to you. You probably would get more money out of it because you had advertised that it was up for rent.
You know, one, that is a very, very good point.
Right, and that's why the story about the goodwill sounds strange, Because why would they... Does the goodwill really follow what buildings in Marion...
So what is goodwill going to put in there? What's the utilization?
Processing center.
Processing center.
Yeah, where clothes come in.
What have they been doing up until this point that tipped the scales and necessitated the processing facility that is now being built out on Barks Road? I can't believe that there's such a dire need that you voluntarily said, hey, can we rent this from you?
Well, that's it.
It would seem like you had just mentioned, a mayor with business sense would say, you know, that's a good idea. Maybe we should rent this out. Let's advertise for bids and see what kind of rent we can get instead of just saying, oh, okay.
Well, right. I mean, it's interesting because one of the complaints, I read through some of the comments on our social media page, and one of the complaints was that the rent for that type of building, a commercial building of that size, $4,000 is rather low.
And no kidding. Just like the rent that Ohio Health has been paying on an illegal lease. It was 31-year lease.
It just, none of it makes any sense, and I think that's why a lot
of... local government for you.
Well, yeah, but I mean, local government has always had the twinge of getting done what they want to get done, but I don't know...
I think if you look at years past, the quality of the members of city council were much higher. You had businessmen. You had an attorney, a judge, that was president of council.
Yeah. You had doctors.
You know, what do we got now?
You had the former fire chief, Phil Reed. You had Dr. Scott Gray, who was up there. I mean, you had people involved in the schools. I mean, there were a lot of people
You had better educated people.
Well, here's the thing also that's kind of weird about this four-year term thing. Essentially, this council is saying it takes a long time to learn this stuff. Now,
see, again, that falls on the shoulders of the damn Democrats and the damn Republicans not giving the public, the taxpayers, an individual that knows the functions and mechanics, and they get on-the-job training. That is this poor government.
Yeah, but I can't... Here's what is so ironic about this, and I've not heard anybody bring this up at a council meeting. Why in the world... Because council will vote on this, I believe, next week. Or, no, 2 weeks from now, because there won't be... Next week will be a committee meeting. 2 weeks from now, they'll vote on this. Okay, essentially, what you're going to have is you're going to have 9 people, and I'm interested to see who votes yes for this.
Wait a minute. They'll vote on it to put it on the ballot November, right?
But essentially, they're saying, if they vote yes for this, they're saying, we feel council needs 4 years to get a good grasp on this job. Now, you are the council. I think that past council members, the people that you're talking about, would have been embarrassed to say, we can't get this in 2 years. We need to make these 4 year terms. I don't think they ever would have dreamed that doing something like that.
You know, another thing is, people who would, most people are turned off because of the incompetency of the not ready for prime time politicians. People who have an interest, they're going to be going to city council. They're going to see what's going on, and they're going to learn more by being at those council meetings, and the council people should be taking notice of it to say, hey, are you interested? You know, come to some of our meetings, learn, etc. Groom these people. Don't just say, hey, Billy Bob, y'all want it. We think you'd be good. Come on and be on city council for us.
Well, you know what's interesting. Well, you know
what they need to groom them, and there should be enough public interest. But the not ready for prime time politicians turn people off because they don't want to get stuck in a whole room full of stupid people making stupid mistakes.
Well, here's what's odd, and I'm going to be interested to see this vote in 2 weeks, because the group that is there right now, people will find this shocking for me to say, at this point in their tenure, I don't believe that this group is a terrible council. I mean, I believe you have people on that council who do ask questions. I believe you do have people on that council who are trying to learn what needs to be done. I mean, I think Aaron Rollins knows very well what he's doing.
Aaron Rollins, I think, is the exemplary individual on that council.
And I think Scott Kreider knows what he's doing.
He's pretty good.
I think that Bill Dichtel knows what he's doing for the short time that he's been there. And he does ask questions of the law director and the mayor before the meetings. I do think that Thaddeus Smith is coming a long, long way. He asks a lot of questions and talks a lot with his constituents. It's very apparent. I think that the new councilman, I mean, he's only been there 2 weeks, but he's young. He seems eager to learn. They always say we want younger people to be in government. Nathan Stevenson, you know, I think he's not a lost cause in any way. I'm trying to think of other people who are on council, right? Oh, I don't think that. I'm trying to think of who the other at-large council. I'm trying to picture them here. You got Danny Clark. I mean, this is his first term. I imagine right now he's only, 6 months into his first term. He's still in a learning process. Mrs. Larkin, she's 6 months into her first term. That's a learning process. So I give them, give them more than 6 months to try to learn this thing.
That's the thing. It should not be a learning process.
Well, and I think, by the way, I think Sean Barr, I haven't seen him make too many mistakes in procedure, so I don't think he's unaware of what's going on.
Well, he should be. I mean, he's, President Pro Tem or whatever?
Right. So I think he knows what he's doing as far as procedure goes, and that's why
He should not be President Pro Tem. They should have gotten Aaron Rollins. He was the most senior up there. And, he's the most senior now.
Well, this is what I can't imagine this group. Now, people might think this is a slam dunk vote, and maybe they're going to vote that way. But, essentially it's saying we needed more time to learn this job than 2 years, than all the councils that have been on two-year terms for many, many decades. And I just can't imagine that they're going to do that. Maybe they will, but I that's a weird thing to do, but go for it, I guess. It's up to you.
Well, the only salvation is to inform the public. You want the not ready for prime time politicians there for 4 years, because if they screw up for the first two or three, and then the fourth year, there's 3 years wasted of time and money.
Well, here's
what's the salary. What are these not ready for prime time politicians make as being on council?
I don't know right now. They were supposed to get a raise, and it didn't happen. They refused the raise because of the city's financial problems. It's not a big, large amount.
They need to make raises for council based upon merit by the people of their wards giving them accolades.
But
first ward, wow, they got this, they did this. The first ward guy did this, this, and this. And, to see quantifiable, verifiable achievement but I by say, those people in position.
Right. I want to say this before we go to break, is that I think what they're not thinking about is this is going to be a fairly high turnout election in November because it's a gubernatorial year. All state offices are up, and we've also got a Senate race that's attracting a lot of attention that'll be statewide. I think it's interesting that they want to put this on the ballot, is essentially what will happen, to give council longer terms. There's not a person alive who I have not heard say that Congress needs term limits, that senators need term limits, that people are in these offices too long. Why in the world...
They're protecting their rice bowl.
Right, but why in the world does city council think that the voter is going to vote to give them more time? I don't think that the average voter, who is not engaged in everything going on in the political world, is going to say, yeah, let's give people more time in office. I don't think that's going to pass with the voters.
Well, you're thinking logically. You never know.
I'll tell you, stay tuned. We got a whole nother hour, and there's some fun things coming up next hour.
Well, tikkun olam. Tikkun olam.
Right.
Repair and improve the world.
We'll be coming back right after this.
Is it how much of Mrs. Garrett is in Charlotte Ray?